Okay, now I mentioned last week that September is sort of like the second new year. And I used the idea of reset. How very often when September comes, we have this propensity to reset, where people who were away from church, for example, because they were visiting places, the kids are out of school, so you go on vacation, and there's all of these different things, and then September comes, and there's a normalcy, there's a rhythm to life, and so there's this reset. Everybody say reset. And I talked about how, what a great opportunity for us to pursue a spiritual reset. A spiritual reset is the most important reset. There's a physical reset, there's a mental, there's a family, there's a kind of a calendar reset. But the best is a spiritual reset. And I'll be honest with you, I was walking and praying as I do throughout the week, and I was asking the Lord, I felt like the Lord was leading me to a passage to speak to you. And so the Lord led me to Joshua chapter 4, and I feel like God wants us to continue on this idea of a spiritual reset, but thinking in particular about the priority that God gives to us as his people to pass it on. Everybody say pass it on. So even though I typically would prefer to go through Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 4, we're jumping to Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to spend 3 weeks in the same passage, because this passage is challenging God's people to not forget to pass it on. Everybody say pass it on. So when you think about reset, what if we were thinking about passing it on? And what does it mean to pass it on? This is a very strong spiritual emphasis all the way from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And in Psalm 78, listen to this. In Psalm 78, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done." In Psalm 78, the way the psalm opens, it was like we have a mandate from God. We talk all the time about raising up the next spirit-filled generation. How many know we are called to raise up children who really know the Lord and really serve the Lord and really follow the Lord? That is a mandate. How does that happen? We have to pass something on. And Psalm 78 says, we're not going to hide this from our kids. We're going to make sure that they know the might of God. We're going to make sure that they know the power of God. We will pass it on. And then in Matthew chapter 28, so if you don't have children, like a physical, biological children, listen to this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The last thing that Jesus said before he rose from the dead was, pass on my love, pass on my truth, pass on the gospel. You are called to pass it on. You and I are called to be living witnesses for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody receive that this morning. You and I should be thinking about the great call to pass it on. His love, his power, his goodness, the message of the gospel. We are called to pass it on. And before I read the text today, can I say why I think the phrase, the idea of passing it on is so fantastic? It's because if you wake up in the morning, should the Lord give us more days. May he come right during the service. Amen. I'm ready to go right here, right now. Right? But should the Lord give us days, every day that we wake up, if you're thinking, I have a mandate from God. I have marching orders from God. Wherever I'm going, I'm called to pass on the kingdom of God. I'm called to pass on the love of God. I wake up in the morning, I have to pass on to my children and so on, and my neighbors and my friends. When you think about this, here's what happens. Number one, you're always thinking about honoring God. You see? If you're thinking pass it on, I'm telling you right now, your days are shaped by honoring God. Number two, when you're thinking about passing something on, you're also like oriented towards serving others. And if you're walking around this coming week, if you're walking around praying, seeking God, right, and saying, Lord, I've got something to pass on today from you. Right, I'm telling you right now, you're going to honor him. You're going to have these special interactions with other people. You're going to serve others. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. So go be great this week by being a servant. Somebody say amen to that. And now we're going to go into one of these times in the Bible where he gives us this imagery. It's imagery that is meant to teach us some simple but profound things. So when we get to the book of Joshua chapter 4, the book of Joshua is all about the people of God entering into the promised land. So God delivered them from Egypt. He broke the power of Egypt, the Pharaoh, which represented sin and death and the world and slavery. But the Bible says he brought them out to bring them in. And so he brings them out. They go into the desert. But they weren't supposed to stay in the desert or the wilderness. God met them there. He wanted to take them into the promised land. Everybody say promised land. You understand? But when they looked at going into the promised land, they fell into a state of unbelief and fear because there were giants in the land and there were enemies in the land. And they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness, just meandering around. Now, what is that teaching us? It's teaching us, number one, that just like when Israel was in Egypt, what was the culminating event? Well, they slaughtered a lamb. They put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. The angel of the Lord passed over. And wherever there was no blood, there was judgment and death. But wherever there was blood over the doorpost, there was no death, there was mercy. Because God was teaching us that when he sees the blood, he will be merciful. And then further on in the Bible, we know that again, it culminates in Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Anybody here, is the blood of Jesus over your heart? Is the blood of Jesus over your life? Is the blood of Jesus over your family? God was teaching us his plan. He was revealing his plan from the very beginning in the Old Testament that he would send the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And that's Jesus. But then they get free. But can I tell you something? Jesus doesn't save you so that you could be stagnant. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life to the full. How many want the full life? How much abundant life? Too many Christians wander around after they accept Jesus. They're not stepping into the abundant life. You see, we're called to walk in the abundant life, in victory, in blessing. It having the kind of testimony that enables us to pass it on. In other words, if you're not experiencing great victory, if you're not walking in the blessing of God, then what are you passing on? So God has a promised land, so to speak, for all of us. And this again, this was a prophetic imagery so that thousands of years later, I believe this was about, this took place about 1400 BC, I believe. Thousands of years later, we would look at this and learn from this story. So now they have actually crossed over after 40 years in the desert, after 40 years of wandering. And let me tell you something, I'm praying for the person who's been wandering in God. I'm praying for the person who is stuck in the middle. You're stuck between being delivered by the power of Christ and yours, and being walking in the fulfillment of God. And I'm telling you right now, this fall, this time, this day, it's time to begin to step into the promised land of the call of God of your life. No more wandering, no more just bouncing around and not being fruitful and faithful and powerful and impactful. That's God's will, that's God's plan for our lives. And so now God says it's time to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan was a river that in many places was up to a mile wide. And in this particular case, even though we're not going to read it, you can go back and read it between Joshua 1 and 3. When this particular instance happens, it was at flood stage. Okay? It was at flood stage. So I'm going to read the story, then I'm going to break it down to you. Today is introductory, but has so much application. Joshua chapter 4 says as follows: when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Let's keep going. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God. Now, the first couple lines said where the priests were standing, and I want you to know, where the priests were standing is where the ark was, because they were carrying the ark of the covenant or the ark of his presence. I'm going to show you more in a second, but I want you to capture this. I want your imagination to even activate. So they're crossing the Jordan, and God said, cross the Jordan by sending the priests and the ark of his presence first. The ark of the covenant and the priests, when they stepped in, the Jordan stopped flowing and they got into the middle, and then they let the people cross while they stood there. And once they passed, now Joshua is saying, listen, go back. Even though everyone is crossed, go back and pick up stones from where the ark is, from where the priests are, okay? So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. So these were big stones. This is not like a pocket stone. This is like one of these. According to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. Okay, and then watch this. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. Everybody say cut off. Cut off. Right? These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Leave that up for a moment. So notice that this is another instance in many places where God is saying, what I do for you, I want you to make sure that you pass it on to your children. When I do something great, don't forget to pass it on to your children. I am doing great things among you, but it's not just for you. It's because of what he wants to do through you, brothers and sisters. What he does for you, he also wants to use through you to everyone, passing on. So what we're talking about here is passing on the great things that God has called us to reveal through what he does in our lives. And so look, I want to finish explaining this to you, but I want to pray right now. I want to challenge you, if you're watching online, I want to challenge you to believe God for the kind of life that is really imparting to people wherever you go. Okay, there should have been a stronger amen, but you're so serious that you're just taking it in. But you should want that. You should really want to pass it on. You should really want to make a difference, and it's not very hard. Believe it or not, this one is not very hard, and you're going to see why. You know, it might get hard, and there are challenges that come when you pass it on, but this one is not very hard if you do what they did. But I want to pray right now. God, let our families pass it on. Let my life pass it on. Come on, lift your hands with me if you're watching online. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to ask you to enable us to pass it on this September. Lord, we want to fall where we're making an impact, where your kingdom is growing, where the name of Jesus is being lifted and exalted in the places that we step into. Lord, help us to pass it on. God, we accept the challenge to raise up, Lord, children, teenagers, a youth group, oh God, a becoming center where we are passing on the greatness of your might and glory and power. We don't just want to be, Lord, an average, oh God, amen, gathering of your people. We want to be a people of your presence and your power. God, we want to be a people, oh God, not where man gets the glory, but where Jesus gets the glory, oh God. So enable us, Lord, what you did for the nation, you can do for the individual. What you did for the Israelites, for the different tribes, you can do for our families. Bless this word, Lord, by your mighty power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so very quickly, let's look at this main teaching of the day. And what I want to do is I want to start with a famous painting by Benjamin West. He actually painted this scene, and this was like such a good image. And since I'm an art buff, he was one of the founders of the Royal Gallery in London. So anyway, as you're looking at this, you see the priest here, and they're carrying the ark. Anybody who ever saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark, they were looking for the ark. This was the ark. That was not biblical, though, okay? So, but there was a real ark. And in this ark, you see during the day, there was a cloud. There was like this pillar by day, and by night, it was a pillar of fire. And what Israel was supposed to do, listen closely, this is the teaching. They were supposed to always follow the cloud or follow the pillar of fire. And their whole lives revolved around the ark. The ark represented the presence of God. Okay? So this is showing that when the ark stepped into the Jordan was stopped and it was pushed back. Because, brothers and sisters, the ark represents the presence of God, the power of God, and the pathway of God. And when you're with the presence of God, brothers and sisters, then his power is there also. And his power can stop anything that is coming. His power can enable you to cross over And his presence also tells you where to go, because that's the way he led them. So remember, the ark of God represented the pathways of God, the presence of God, the power of God. Now I have a map here to fully explain this, okay? This is kind of like an overview of what was really going on. And when you see this little line, that's the Jordan River. Remember, that Jordan River, this is not to scale. The camels, they were not jumping a little puddle. Okay? This was, and at that time, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in chapter 3, the Bible tells us that the river was at flood stage. But here's what you need to understand. We'll apply this quickly, but here's what you need to understand. So they're in the wilderness, but now it's the promised land is over here, right? So they're called to cross the Jordan at flood stage before they started to take the promised land. Once they got out, they had to take Jericho. Jericho was the first stronghold, the first great enemy that they had to fight. But here's what you and I need to take away today, and you're going to see in a moment why, is that God had to do something personal at the Jordan before he did something public at Jericho. If you're going to pass it on, there are personal things that God has to do before he does the public thing. This is part of what the story is telling us, and let me take it even a step deeper. So even though they probably crossed, let's say, right around here, the Bible tells us that the Jordan stopped all the way back at Adam. Everybody say Adam. Now, this is by design. The Jordan was at flood stage. The Jordan was flowing when the presence of God stepped into those waters. The flood went all the way back to everyone, Adam. Do you know that we are the sons and daughters of Adam? Do you know that there's Adam inside of all of us? Right? And we too deal with a flood over and over again. And personally, we have to deal with the flood of Adam inside of us before we can go take down Jericho. Yes. Now one more image for a second. So let me show you what it actually looks like there. This is the Jordan River at flood stage. So I'm telling you right now, camels, they ain't crossing this, okay? This is what it actually looks like. This is a raging flood. What was God saying? God says, I want you to let my presence and power go into these waters first. And once my presence, once my ark goes into these waters, then my power is going to hit the flood. And when my power hits the flood, I will stop it all the way back to Adam. You understand? All the way back. Where did the fall come from? Where did sin come from? Where did all the mess start? It started in Adam, and God says, I can push it all the way back to Adam. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. There is a power to deal with that flood. So understand, brothers and sisters, that God was saying, I want to do this for you. I want you to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that whatever is raging inside of you, now here's where we get it. So here it is. The ark was this piece of furniture that represented the presence and power of God. Wherever the presence and power of God was, brothers and sisters, the presence and power of God could stop every unholy flood. Amen. Flood of perversion. Amen. Flood of anger. Flood of fear. Flood of trauma. Flood of injury. Right? Floods of resentment. Right now, floods of rage and racism and division. whatever flood there is, whatever is raging inside of you. And brothers and sisters, look, whether it be like a bad mood or a flood, how many know there is an antidote? It's the presence and the power of the living God. So now watch this. When the ark was on the planet, when the ark was here, then the ark suddenly disappeared. Nobody knows where it ended going. It was taken up, so to speak. When the ark went away, then someone else came. When Jesus came to the earth, Jesus was the fullness of the presence and the power of the living God. Jesus was the ark. And how many know, wherever Jesus was, the demons would tremble. Wherever Jesus was, people got healed. Wherever Jesus was, people got, the blind received sight, and the deaf, oh, their ears were opened. People started walking even though they were crippled for life. Women with the issue of blood were touched by the power of God, because wherever Jesus is, hallelujah, victory is upon us. This story is prophesying that Jesus is coming. And when we accept Jesus, this is available to us. Doesn't matter how long you've been a slave to that bottle. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. So look, no ark, no testimony. No ark, no crossing. No presence of God, there is no crossing, the flood, brothers and sisters. But when we look to his presence, when we look to the ark, when we stay close to the ark, how many know all things are possible? Hallelujah. So the title of the message today, if you really want to reset, okay? Resetting is more than going back to church. Resetting, I hope you joined a becoming group. I hope you're getting involved in church, but resetting is more than those things. Resetting means that you start to look to the presence and power of God in your own life. That when you go home, you're looking to his presence. That when you wake up in the morning, you're looking to his presence. Are you looking? Remember, there is a personal victory that goes before the public one. God is going to give you great land. God is going to give you great blessings. But the greatest victory is the victory inside of our hearts. We've been talking about the fact that he is the Prince of Peace, brothers and sisters. He wants to give you love and joy and peace. He wants to give us victory on the inside. Somebody say amen to that. And so all of us have a flooding Jordan inside of us, but God has the power to take it all the way back to Adam. That's the story. You see? So do not, at this moment, do not exclude your particular brand of flood from God's power to put an end to it. Don't do that. Don't let the devil tell you, yeah, but you don't understand. Same-sex attraction, God can break it. Mental, emotional confusion, God can break it. You know, whatever it is, brothers and sisters, God is able to break it. He's been breaking people's battles and struggles from the moment he rose from the dead in power, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, very, very quickly, I've got two application points, all right? So, what does this teach us? Number one, we have to engage with his presence. We have to engage with his presence. Are you engaging life with the presence of God? Are you waking up in the morning? Are you reading to engage with his presence. A lot of people, they read with their head. They read out of duty. They read out of obligation. But Jesus has something more. Come on, how many believe he's got something way more than just information? We're talking about engaging with his presence. And when you engage with his presence, then you can engage the world with his presence. You see? And so what this is talking about is recognizing how important it is to be close to the presence of God. God was putting this imagery for us. Look at these verses. This goes back to the Old Testament. When David took power, here's the first thing he did. You want to make a great leadership move? Here was David's first great leadership move. He said, "Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." So there were two kings. Saul was the first king. David was the second king. David actually sinned to a greater degree than Saul did, but David was a man after God's own heart. God is rich in mercy. It's not our failures that hold us back. It's our lack of engagement with his presence that holds us back. He's rich in mercy. Anybody thankful that he's rich in mercy? And so he says, listen, we need to bring the presence of God back. If you're struggling in your marriage, how about getting the presence of God back in your marriage? Right? How about praying together? How about reading the Bible out loud? You want to chase the devil out of your house? Read the Bible. Take a psalm or a passage of the New Testament. Just read it out loud. Watch all the demons run away. Watch all the gloom. Come on. Let the word of God be lifted up in your house. See, but here's what's crazy. Some of us, we believe that that's strange, but what the world says to do isn't strange. That's not strange. Engaging with his presence is not strange. You know, it's like lifting your hands to God, worshiping God, singing to God. That's the most natural, normal, wise thing to do you could do on this planet. Somebody say amen. To walk by the ark of his presence and ignore it, that is strange. That is foolish. To think that you have the power to deal with the flood instead of engaging with his presence to deal with the flood? Come on. You see? And so we need to move towards God. Look, put that verse, put this back up. When I first became a Christian, I have to tell you, this passage of Scripture, Exodus 33:15. This passage of Scripture was life-changing. This is one of the dearest. You go read this story. It's Moses is talking to the Lord, and God has called him to lead. If they could send me a keyboard player, God has called him to lead. And Moses was like, "Hey Lord, you haven't told us who's going with us." The Lord said, "I'll send an angel." He said, "No, I don't want the angel. I want you." And here's what he said. He said, "If your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us up from here." And the Bible, when you read the story, you feel like the pleasure of God in that moment. Do you want to make God happy? I'm telling you right now, tell the Lord, "I just want your presence. I want to be led by your presence. I want to live in your presence." You want to make the creator of the universe, 8 billion people on the planet, you want the attention of God upon your life? I'm telling you right now. Just say, "I want you, God. I need you, God. I trust you, Lord. Go with me, God. Go with me." Further on in the New Testament, look at how the Bible would put this. John 15:5 says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." But let's read this together, ready? "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Only his presence can deal with our Adam. Only his presence. If you battle with anger, if you battle with resentment, if you battle with selfishness, if you battle with pride, whatever it might be, you know, and you know what you battle with, right? You battle with what the people close you tell you battle with. Amen, that one. Right? So, yeah. Right? But when you're in union with Christ, he's able to put that flood away. When he puts the flood away, you become different. Something is flowing out of you. Something starts to flow. How many want the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life? Engage with his presence. I want to encourage you to go home today while you are by yourself. This is one of those solo assignments. After, pray with your family and all that, but just by yourself. Understand what it means to connect with the King of Glory. Understand what it means to feel the pleasure of your Heavenly Father by reaching to him. I'm telling you right now, the Bible tells us that if we seek him, we'll find him. You want a different fall? Engage his presence. Now, secondly, when you engage his presence, then you can also expect from his power. Do you expect from the power of God? Are you living the kind of life that expects the power of God to hit the flood of the moment? You know, one of our pastors went to a chiropractor, and the chiropractor is kind of a friend of the church and sometimes sees different pastors. And so he made this observation. He's like, you know, you guys get way too comfortable with your pain. You should have come sooner. Like, why are you waiting so long? Why don't you just come? He already told you, just come. I'll take care of you. How many know sometimes we just don't go to him because we're not expecting that he really does have the power. We're not expecting that he really does have the answer. But we need to expect that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who stopped the flow of the Jordan is able to stop the flood of our lives here and now, no matter what it is. We need to turn. We need to expect from his power. You know, when this whole thing happened, you know, Annie had that moment. I was not at the hospital, and I just started to pray. I was like on a street. I was actually in Evanston. I was on a street, and I just started to pray right in the middle of the street. Just go there, Lord. Go there, go there, go there, Lord. Go there, because if you go there, nothing is too hard for you. And it was crazy because it was like, oh, this, then this, then this, and this, and then she was home the next day. I mean, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. The report of the Lord is powerful. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for our God. Look, his power stops the flood. His power can deal with our Adam. When's the last time you prayed, deal with my Adam? Just deal with the fallen me. Lord, aren't you thankful that his power is able to do that? So look, I'm going to close now. We've been talking in our church and in prayer meetings. We've been praying for the visitation of power from the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to believe for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your life and upon your home. the only way to deal with the flood of these times is we need power from on high. When you engage with his presence, you should expect from his power. When you engage with his presence, the stories of the Bible need to become your stories. How many want to claim the stories of the Bible for yourself? Real time, 2025. So look, I'll close with this. Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem. Right? I've trained you for 3 years, but don't leave Jerusalem until I send the Holy Spirit and he falls upon you in power. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Spirit of God fell upon them in power. And the same people who ran on the night he was crucified, they all died as martyrs because of the outpouring of the presence and power of God. The Bible says supernatural things happen. They spoke in tongues. Like all of these things happened, and they were declaring the gospel. And we as believers, now I don't know how the devil got this in, but the devil got it in that those supernatural things were somehow for yesterday. But the Bible says they're for today, brothers and sisters. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. God moves in power. Don't let your spirit shut down now. Wake up your spirit. Believe God for power from on high. A couple weeks ago, we had a leadership meeting here. And you know what I love about the Lord? If you read the Gospels, I learned this. I learned this right from Jesus. So if you read the Gospels, Jesus did all these miracles, but he never let people get so caught up with the miracle that they forgot him. Presence is the key to power. Okay? So he would heal someone, he would move on. He would do this, he would move on. He would do that, but he did it. He did it, and he's still doing it. So a couple weeks ago, we had this leadership meeting, and one of the sisters, we were right at the end, we prayed together. And look, let me tell you something. You and Jesus. So anyway, we prayed together. Meeting was over. Great meeting. Awesome. But one of the sisters, she had actually asked a question right before. One of the sisters went and was talking to one of the leaders, and they were talking, and they said, you know, let's pray. And when they prayed, do you know the Spirit of God came down? She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She was speaking in tongues and prophesying. And brothers and sisters, if you don't believe that, you need to wake up your faith, because God moves in power. He still moves in power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how people get set free of drugs. That's how people get set free of anger and perversion and all of the, and lying, just lying nonstop. Some people are just can't stop lying. Let me tell you, when the power of God hits, he puts Adam in check. If we're going to pass it on, look, they took note that these unschooled fishermen, because of their courage and boldness, they took note that they had been with Jesus. I was praying, Lord, as you release our people all over Chicago, as you release people even online, may there be moments over and over again where people look at you. Man, what if somebody looks at you and they go, what is that? There's something godly on them. I can feel it. That's going to open so many doors. But what do we have to do? If you want something to pass on, listen, you have to engage with his presence. You have to expect from his power. Come on, let's lift our hands.